honoring veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler, brought to you by this local station and its sponsors, and presented everywhere, on the air and online, by the U.S. Army. Find your place on the Army team at goarmy.com/warriors.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and our conversation with 93-year-old Les Novaresi of Stockton, California, where he once served as Deputy Chief of Police. He spent nearly 40 years in law enforcement after serving in both World War II and the Korean War. As we've heard, Les has tried to block out the memories of his time in combat during the Battle of Okinawa, when of the 220 men in his company, I Company of the 17th Regiment, 7th Infantry Division, of those 220, only 127 came through without being physically wounded. At his home in Stockton, Les displays his medals, which include the Combat Infantry Badge and even the Bronze Star. But displayed above those, even more prominently, are a picture of him in a different uniform and his badge from 25 years in the Stockton Police Department, which he joined after his Korean War service in the Air Force. What was it that possessed you to pursue that path, Les?
I mean, here you'd been at war, getting shot at, and you just told me that was so bad that you've purposely forgotten about it. What made you want to get into law enforcement?
I was looking for a job, probably. I was looking for a job, and I was always oriented for law enforcement. I was always a military-type guy, you know, because of my brothers. So I took the test. My dad said, why don't you take the test? And I did, and I passed it. But meanwhile, before I went in, I was recalled to the Air Force when I should have been a policeman. So I should have gone on the police department in 50 or 51. But I went back in the service, so I was had 2 more years in the PD than I had, because I went back in the service. But no, I liked being a police officer. It was good. It was a good, honorable job. Good, honorable job. And I really worked at it. I was a good street cop. When I made detective, I was I wasn't the greatest detective, but I was a great street cop. I really loved the street. So that's where the rubber hits the road, you know, in the street. So I was pretty good there.
Well, I'm sure there's some stories from those years, too. That's not an easy job. That takes a toll on you, on families. What are some of the things that you remember that when you look back, you say, boy, I was pretty fortunate to get out of that situation, or I'm thankful this went down the way it did?
There are so many. One particular incident, some guy had an axe up at the top of the stairs, and me and my partner were running up the stairs, and as he raised the axe, and I ran up by the stairs and ran by him and grabbed the axe, went right by him. That's one small incident. There's a lot of those, you know, because most policemen have those. I had once, we had with my partner, we went to this monkey was loose in his house, and he crapped all over my partner. And there's always just funny ones, you know, went out to the, they were having a family fight, and my partner went up to the door, and the guy broke the door down, and the door went over my partner, and the guy walked over to the door. But I mean, there's a lot of funny incidents in the police work, but it's a good job, and it's an honorable job, and I'm glad I was a police officer. I did a lot of good things, and I made a few mistakes, but in the overall scheme of things, I really enjoyed it.
Police officers, law enforcement in general, have been kind of a hot-button issue in our country the last 2 years. We hear opinions from a lot of different perspectives. Is there something you think is misunderstood, maybe, about police officers, law enforcement personnel, from your experience? Is there something that maybe people who haven't walked in your shoes or, you know, worn that hat or carried that baton don't understand?
Yeah, we go for the crime, not the person. In other words, we don't go for nationality or race. We go for the crime. If you do the crime, we go for you. And a lot of people, you know, when these stops that they make, we try to judge, and a good cop sees or kind of has a feeling for, you know, who's doing what. If he works a good the beat, and he knows the people on the beat, he knows who's doing what. You know, he keeps his eyes open and his mind open. He knows who's doing the crime. And so consequently, he makes those stops, and sometimes he might be a little aggressive, and that offends some people. And that's the part I feel they're misunderstood. The people want, they say, we need more police in our area. And the minute you put more police in the area, they said, you're picking on us. You're stopping us too much. So it's kind of a damned if you do and damned if you don't. So it's an honor, you know, I think that it's a misunderstood business. But without the police, you'd be in dire straits. You know that as well as I do. I really think that, the way the law is or the way the crime is going, you know, Stockton is really, the crime here isn't all that great. It seems to be getting a little better. You know, I could shut a town down without any problem, but you'd get a hue and cry from everybody because you'd be stopping people, and they don't like to be stopped and checked out. But, we've got to get, criminals got to get from point A to point B. Either has to walk there or drive there. And the only way you can do that is you got to stop people and talk to them. You got to do it in a medically prescribed manner. But that's the way you stop crime. You stop, talk to people. You do it in a nice way. But it's a never-ending problem. Mm-hmm. So that's my take on it.
Well, one of the things that you did in your years with the Stockton Police Department, you competed in shooting competitions.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
How did that come about? Where did that come from?
Well, I like shooting, and my partner was Henry Perez, he's on this shooting thing there.
Yeah.
He started me shooting, and I just took a liking to it, and we used to go up to Oakland and shoot on the target. Then I just really took a liking to it. Then we formed the practical police course, really became popular. You know, that's a silhouette target. Mm-hmm. And so we formed a team in the early 50s, and we became very proficient, and we start winning everything. And then I stayed with it. And after I retired, I didn't shoot for 28 years. And then I went back to it, and then I got my speed up to it, and I started shooting really good again.
And again, I apologize if I ask some dumb questions, but I'm just wondering, if you guys go and you compete, and I'm looking at a picture right here where it says, California State PPC, that's Practical Police Course Champions, 1966, so you guys were the best in the state. Was there any value to that besides just the pride and satisfaction? Is that something that in the community, maybe the bad actors paid attention because they knew how sharp you guys were?
Oh, I don't know about that, but it made you proficient because the practical police course is you started at 7 yards and you drew and fired quickly and you had to shoot in so many seconds. Mm-hmm. It kind of made your skill much, much, much better. Mm-hmm. So it was good for your work, you know.
Yeah.
And so it was good. And I'm sure... But I doubt if the bad guys even paid attention to that. You know, they're thugs, a thug. You know, and they never pay any attention to that. You know, stop and tell them, hey, you know how good of a shot I am.
Well, I guess more practically speaking, though, it could save your life, right? If you're better at that and quicker.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. I could stick in your eye at 25 yards. Mm-hmm. You know the old saying. If you give me 5 shots at you, I'm going to hit you in the head, and there's a lot of guys that, not a lot of guys, but there's enough of them that are really good shots. And of course, some of them aren't that great, but they practice. They're out there at the range all the time, and they have class after class trying to teach these guys how to shoot the rifle and the shotgun. Mm-hmm. And the pistol, of course. But no, I think shooting, it's one of your tools. You don't carry a baseball bat or a bowling ball, you know, or a saber. Mm-hmm. you carry a pistol.
Well, and I guess I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask you whether you ever had to put that training, that expertise to use in the field.
Yeah, I've shot it at people, but the only time I ever hurt anybody was with a club. I had an altercation with some culprit, but I've shot at a car and I've shot at a fleeing suspect, but I never shot to hit him. I shot to scare him. And which now is taboo. You don't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. When you draw your weapon, it's to shoot a fleeing or shoot a felon. That fear for your life or fear of somebody else's life. Mm-hmm. But they've changed the rules since I was a patrolman. In those days, you had a lot of things you did that you can't do now.
Well, and as far as your accuracy in firing, so state championships is part of that police force team, but you've continued, as I mentioned. And how old were you when you got the highest score that anybody's ever gotten around here?
I think it was about 85.
Yeah?
Yeah, 85 years old.
And people who don't know shooting, they don't know what it means. Maybe they think of bowling. If you bowl a 300 game, that's perfect. And in shooting, when you're working on these targets, it's the same story, right?
No, it's harder to shoot a 300 shooting than it is 300 bowling, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Much harder.
Posted on the Hometown Heroes page on Facebook and also at hometownheroesradio.com, you'll find a video that explains this a little bit better.
When you're shooting these targets, the best possible score is 300.
300 is it.
That means you put every single bullet in the tightest bullseye.
That's right.
And you shot a what?
299.
So that means you missed one.
I missed one.
By how much?
By about a quarter of an inch.
And how many shots did you fire?
30.
So 29 were perfect bullseyes and one was barely off.
Yep.
Have you met anybody else who's done that?
Yeah, there was one other guy that did that.
How old was he?
32 or something.
And you were 85?
Yeah, 85 at the time.
And now you're 93 and you're still at it.
I had my eyes done. The restore, I did the restore in my eyes for my shooting. So I'm trying to keep up with it. But I'm getting old now, you know, it's starting to creep up on me. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make that 300.
You were saying you don't hear anything while you're shooting. Do you have to control your breathing too?
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you have to. And you breathe in, hold it, then you shoot. And you breathe in, hold it, shoot. It's a technique. Everybody's got a different technique. I use the isosceles hold. Then there's the Weaver with the outside thumb. But it's a lot of fun. A lot of people are against guns, but I'm not.
Well, and you probably have some good perspective. I'm sure there are people on both sides of that issue that don't really understand the issue the way you do. Why do you appreciate or value firearms the way you do?
Because they're there for a purpose. They're there to protect you. But nobody should own a gun that is not practicing shooting it. If a man can't shoot a gun in a reasonable fashion, he shouldn't have it. He should not have a gun. If he's not trained with a gun, the man shouldn't have one, including a rifle. I think every man should have a gun, or woman that wants one, except you've got to have a stellar character, of course, and you've got to have the skill. Because if you shoot and miss and you hit some poor bystander, that's not doing anybody any good. It's like in New York, they had this police officer, two police officers, by the Empire State Building. Somebody killed a psychiatrist up in the building and came down. Two police officers saw him and shot at him 9 times, both of them, and they missed him, hit him once, and it hit a bystander, broke a couple of windows. Those policemen weren't trained right, apparently, but in a huge department like New York, how in the hell can they train those 45,000 policemen properly? Even us, we have a problem training police officers properly out there. And we're only 400.
How involved do you remain with Stockton PD? What's your connection to him now?
No, I help train some of the guys I have, not so much lately. But when I see a young patrolman struggling, I go out and help him. So does my other two other buddies. They see somebody that needs help, we go out and help them to shoot. And I'm always available to help a young fella. And they appreciate it because I don't want somebody come to my house that can't shoot straight. He's liable to shoot me. But we go out to the range and we're available to all of the young guys. Other than that, we don't do anything for the PD. We're just, like I said, we go out and we enjoy ourselves. Mm-hmm. And if we're of any can be of any help, we help them.
Well, and you help them with shooting. But I'm wondering, in general, if there's somebody listening right now, maybe it's a young person and they're thinking about a career in law enforcement. I imagine you've had to do this a time or two. What's the best advice you can give to a young man or a young woman who's thinking about that as a career?
I think it's the best career in the world. It's an honorable position, and you can contribute to the well-being of your community. but you got to have the calling for it. You just can't put a uniform on and just put in your time. You got to have the zest for the department or for whatever department you want to go on. Otherwise, you shouldn't go on the police department. You just got to have the calling for it. You'd be doing your community a favor and probably yourself. And it's a good paying job now, too. I mean, it's not like the old days where they paid you peanuts. They pay you a good salary now.
Are there some things temperament-wise or psychologically that you think are essential to a good police officer?
Oh yeah, you got to have a good mind where you're not hot tempered. You got to be able to handle stress. You can't let it, because you're going to get a lot of insults. You're going to be working under bad conditions. No, you got to be very calm. That'd be the greatest asset you have, because if you're the nervous type, you're not going to make it. They're going to get to you.
Insults? What are you talking about? You mean people called you names?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. They call you all kind of names, everything but a man of God. Everything but a man of God.
What's the worst thing someone ever said or called you that you can actually say on the radio?
I can't. No, they get into your family, talk about your family. That's the worst. They say some awful things. Yeah, bad, bad, bad. Yeah, it's kind of tough sometimes. Kind of tough.
So you got to have a lot of self-control, too.
That's the one. Self-control. That's probably the biggest. That's the best one. Self-control. If you don't have that, you're not going to make it, because you'll end up smacking somebody or hurting him real bad, and then you're going to pay the price.
Self-control, a key attribute for anyone who wants to follow in the footsteps of Les Novaresi's selfless service. The Army in World War II, the Air Force during the Korean War, followed by 37 years in law enforcement, and now at 93, still on target. Don't forget to visit hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes Facebook page for a video demonstration of just how steady his shot remains. That's our program for today. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.
To let Paul know about a veteran in your life, visit hometownheroesradio.com and click on Suggest a Veteran. Today's program has been brought to you by the U.S. Army, building a new generation of leaders at goarmy.com/warriors.